Today we celebrate St. John the Baptist, who is known for his straight talking. He's sometimes called the Yorkshireman of the New Testament, though you might prefer to say the Dutchman, the Zulu, or the Swede, all known for their straight talking. But in the Christian calendar, only our Lord, Blessed Virgin Mary, and St. John the Baptist have birthdays celebrated. In the Gospel today, it is Herod's birthday, the only such party in the New Testament. And strangely today, the feast of St. John the Baptist's defilation, or beheading, is kept as a lesser feast than his nativity, his birth. When you begin biblical studies, it's common to trace the parallel stories of our Lord and St. John the Baptist in St. Luke's Gospel. They are remarkably similar in columns side by side. And it's the differences which make interesting reading. This is rather like the ancient myths of the Near East. The Hebrew scriptures are so often similar to those ancient myths of other cultures, but it's the differences which make them so revealing. The people of faith had a totally new insight into the world when observed alongside their contemporaries, the Vladivoros. Our Lord and St. John the Baptist, cousins, so similar, and yet Jesus, to use a phrase so beloved of TV and radio commentators, Jesus is on a different level. Doesn't it make you sick when you see cooking programs or whatever? Oh, this takes us to a different level. Oh, can't we find him? Sorry. Common enough expression. Benedict XVI makes the point that with his parentage, St. John the Baptist was in fact a priest. Though he never functioned in the temple, as far as we know. And it is this that lies behind his absence from strong drink. What, I hear you ask, with your knowledge of the clergy, this abstinence from strong drink? Well, in the book of Leviticus, the priests are not allowed to drink before performing their duties in the tent of meeting, lest they die. It's not the often asserted claim that St. John the Baptist is a total ascetic, leave alone a killjoy. His teetotalism, in fact, reveals to the people that he is constantly ready, as a priest, to meet God in the tent. And so he recognizes Jesus for who he is when God pitches his tent, is incarnate in human history. Killjoy he is not. St. Aelwyd, preaching on St. John the Baptist's nativity, emphasized the joy which constantly surrounds him. And it's not a joy dependent on external things like clothes or drink or food, leave alone human praise. It is the joy of being the friend of the bridegroom, Christ. He is, so to speak, the best man, the bridegroom's friend, who, as he says, stands and listens, wanting nothing for himself. He must increase, I must decrease, he says to those who are claiming, I am not the Christ. He must increase, I must decrease. At his birth, his father Zechariah had said, thou wilt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. Benedictus, which we say daily, at Matins. John the Baptist is the light of dawn before the sun appears. He is the guide. He is the one who can proclaim, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. If you go to the church of St. Mary Magdalene in Vezelay, in Burgundy, as you enter, there is a statue of St. John Baptist holding a huge charger, a huge platter, with the Lamb upon it. But even more remarkably, the church has been built around the movement of the sun, so that on the 24th of June, St. John Baptist's birthday, the sun enters the church through the clerestory windows and makes spotlights all the way up the nave to the high altar, which leads you to the place where the Lamb's offering is made for all, the light guiding the feet of pilgrims to the peace of God which is made in Christ. Now, of course, this sort of thing is not unique. Near the Barren Mounds and these islands were built on the same principle, and in Rome the Arapacius of the Emperor Augustus was designed for the sun's light to fall on it on the 23rd of September, Augustus' birthday. But the church is built to proclaim that message that St. John the Baptist leads the pilgrim to Christ, the Paschal Lamb. Once he has fulfilled that calling, he will decrease, just as the high sun will decrease in the earth's cycle, and those spotlights will move. The Lord himself needs no earthly light, for his own nativity will come when the darkest day passes and the light will increase. But today we see the consequences of St. John the Baptist's preaching. Herod took his brother's wife, and John roundly condemned the two of them. They had borne witness to Christ, but as Bede says, he was imprisoned, which refused to be silent about the truth. You see another parallel with Jesus. Herod and Herodias are sadly eternal figures in human history. I think Saddam Hussein in recent years, some of our own monarchs. Herod is ever with us. And it took remarkable courage to stand up to them and denounce their sordid life. And if I may say so, I think rather more courage than the denunciation last year of Dominic Cummings by some prominent Christians. Almost never in my lifetime have bishops singled out one individual for such failings. Leave the rights and wrongs of Mr. Cummings aside, but to single out one individual like that for condemnation is almost utterly, utterly unknown. But it didn't take the courage that it took to stand up like St. John the Baptist did. For his witness to the truth, John paid the price. He was imprisoned while his cousin proclaimed the kingdom. We hear in the Gospels how he wondered if it had all been in vain. Was Jesus the one that he'd been waiting for? And Jesus said to him in reply, "Show John again those things which you do hear and see." Show John again those things which you do hear and see. And I think that's good advice for us when we are overcome with doubt. We need to look outside ourselves, outside our own self, our circumstances, and truly we will see the works of God. And so, locked in his cell, John's joy returned when he heard of the works of Christ. In the end, his life was finished very quickly, as we heard in the Gospel. and we can wonder what his executioners said to him before they cut off his head, or the waiting charger, the waiting platter. It's a fate all too common for Afghans, Syrians, so many people in our own time. And all because Herod the tyrant, in truth, was a weak man. See the contrast between the two of them, really, in that reading from the Book of Proverbs. Herod the tyrant was a weak man. St. John the Baptist has a prominent place in the east window of this chapel. And his head today is in this shrine in Damascus. What looked like an ignominious death was indeed a faithful witness to the truth. And so in the final hymn this morning, we will sing one that was written by another John in Damascus as we proclaim the resurrection which is found in Christ. And if you and I are faithful to our calling, then his words must be engraved on our hearts, particularly in any missionary work in which we endeavour. He must increase. I must decrease. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.